The Sacrifice of the Mass by M. Gavin, S.J. Chapter 12, Part 4. 1. Consecration of the Bread. Introduction to the Consecration. Qui predie quam pateretur, who the day before he suffered, he takes the host up, accepit panem, took bread, in sanctas ac venerabiles manus suas, into his holy and venerable hands, he raises his eyes to heaven, et elevatis oculis in caelum, and with his eyes lifted up toward heaven, ad te Deum patrem suum omnipotentem, to thee, God, his almighty Father, tibi gratias agens, giving thanks to thee, benedixit, makes the sign of the cross, did bless, fregit, dedique, break and give, discipulis suis, to his disciples, dicens, saying, accipite et manducate, take and eat, ex hoc omnes, you all of this. Hoc es enim corpus meum, for this is my body. Explanation of the Introduction to the Consecration of Bread. Who the day before he suffered took bread into his holy and venerable hands, and with his eyes lifted up toward heaven, to thee, God, his almighty Father, giving thanks to thee, did bless, make the sign of the cross, break, and give to his disciples, saying, the words into his holy and venerable hands, and with his eyes lifted up toward heaven, to thee, God, his almighty Father, are not found in the scriptural narrative. Matthew 26, verses 26 to 28, Mark 14, verses 22 to 24, Luke 22, verses 19 and 20, and 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 to 26. But they come to us through the tradition of the Church. We must distinguish between two actions of our Lord, giving thanks and blessing. Thanksgiving, Eucharist, was offered to his Father, the author of all good. Blessing was intended only for the bread and wine about to be changed into the body and blood of Christ. Break. Our Lord is thought to have broken the portion of unleavened bread into 12 or 13 different pieces, saying, take and eat ye all of this, for this is my body. Explanation of the words of the consecration. 4 gives the reason why Christ asks his apostles to eat. The words that follow must be taken in their plain meaning. The word this means what I show you at this moment in my hands, and what I give you is my body. But the body of Christ is not bread, and to verify our Lord's words, the meaning must be, this is bread no longer, but the body of Christ. To say that the expression, this is my body, means the figure of my body, is the same as saying, this is my body, means this is not my body. For the figure of the body is not the body itself. There is made, by virtue of the words, this is my body, the conversion of the whole substance of the bread into the substance of the body of our Lord, the species, or outward appearance, alone remaining. And this conversion, the Council of Trent teaches, is suitably called transubstantiation. But as the body of our Lord cannot exist without his blood, for a bloodless body is dead, and Christ can die no more. The body necessarily brings with it the blood, and the body and blood are necessarily connected with the soul and divinity of our Lord. Therefore, after the words of consecration are pronounced at Mass, Christ is whole and entire under the appearance of bread. Here is the whole doctrine of transubstantiation. Man's reason can never explain it nor disprove it. It remains the mystery of faith. 2. The consecration of the wine. Simili modo, in like manner, postquam cenatum est, after he had supped. He takes the chalice in both his hands. Accipiens, taking, et preclarum calicem, also this excellent chalice, in sanctas et venerabiles manus suas, into his holy and venerable hands, item tibi gratias agens, and giving thee thanks, benedicit, making the sign of the cross, blessed, deditque, and gave, discipulis suis, to his disciples, dicens, saying, accipite et bibite, take and drink, ex eo omnes, ye all of this. Ic est enim calix sanguinis mei, for this is the chalice of my blood, novi et eterni testamenti, of the new and eternal testament, mysterium fidei, the mystery of faith, qui pro vobis et pro multis effunditur, which shall be shed for you and for many, in remissionem peccatorum, to the remission of sins. Ec quotiescumque feceritis, as often as ye do these things, in mei memoriam facietis, ye shall do them in remembrance of me. Explanation of the introduction to the consecration of wine. In like manner, after he had supped, the priest takes the chalice in both his hands, taking also this excellent chalice, so called from the surpassing treasure of the precious blood which it is meant to contain, into his holy, as the hands of Jesus Christ essentially are, as the hands of his priest are by anointing at ordination, and venerable hands, giving thee thanks, as before the consecration of the bread, as man to his Father, for the incomprehensible gift of the Eucharist, he blessed it, making the sign of the cross, that the wine might be worthy to be converted into his blood, and gave to his disciples, saying, take and drink ye all of this, for this is the chalice of my blood, of the new and eternal testament, the mystery of faith, which shall be shed for you and for many, to the remission of sins. Explanation of the words of the consecration of the chalice. Father Suarez says that according to the common opinion of theologians, not merely the words of the form, this is the chalice of my blood, but all the words, from take to remission of sins, were pronounced by Jesus Christ. The words which consecrate the wine, this is the chalice of my blood, correspond in the consecration of the bread to this is my body. The chalice of my blood means the cup or chalice which contains my blood. The explanation given in the consecration of the bread holds good for the consecration of the wine. After our Lord had pronounced the words, this is the chalice of my blood, According to their plain meaning, wine was converted, by virtue of the words, into the blood of Christ. But as the blood of Christ cannot exist without his body, nor the body and blood without his soul and divinity, we have consequently the body and blood, soul and divinity of our Lord, whole and entire, under the appearance of wine, as under the appearance of bread. The sacrament of the Eucharist is complete under one kind, since under either kind there is present the whole Christ. But the consecration, according to our Lord's command, must ever be under both kinds, since it is only from the double consecration that the Blessed Eucharist has the character of a sacrifice. The separate consecration of bread and wine represents in a mystical way the death of Christ, the parting of the body and blood on the cross. That blood was shed really on the cross, mystically, in the institution of the Eucharist, and daily at Mass on our altars. The blood in the chalice is the blood shed on the cross, and that blood is received by us in the sacrament. The blood, says St. Thomas, 3 Q 78 A 3 Ad 7, consecrated apart from the body, more closely represents the passion of Christ, and therefore more suitably in the consecration of the blood than of the body, mention is made of the passion of Christ, and of the fruit it produced. Chalice in Scripture sometimes signifies passion, as in St. Matthew, chapter 20, verse 22. Can you drink the chalice which I am going to drink? And it signifies a drink in Psalm 22, verse 5. And my chalice which inebriateth me, how goodly it is! The words of the New and Eternal Testament contain an allusion to Exodus chapter 24, verse 8. Testament or covenant, the original Greek, diatheke, means either. As the old covenant of the law was dedicated with the blood of the sacrifice, so now the new covenant of the gospel is to be dedicated with the blood of Jesus Christ. The mystery of faith. These words, according to some writers who disagree with Suarez, we owe to St. Peter. Transubstantiation is a truth above reason which we take on authority of God's word, hence a mystery of faith. The words which shall be shed for you were addressed to the apostles then before our Savior's eyes, and for many. The blood is shed for all, and for many efficaciously, that is, many, the saved, reap the full benefit of our Lord's death, while the lost, through their own fault, use it to their destruction. To the remission of sins. These words express the great end of the sacrifice of the cross, the washing away of the sins of the world. After pronouncing the words of consecration, the priest, laying the chalice on the corporal, says, "As often as ye shall do these things, ye shall do them in remembrance of me." The Council of Trent defines in Session 22, Canon 2, that by these words our Lord made his apostles priests, and prescribed that they, and other priests, their successors in the priesthood, should offer the sacrifice of his body and blood. The elevation of the host and of the chalice. The Church has ever adored the Blessed Sacrament from the time of its institution. But the outward signs by which the Church has expressed this adoration have not always been the same. In the Greek liturgies, the elevation of the Eucharist takes place shortly before Communion. Formerly, in the Latin Mass, the Blessed Sacrament was elevated only at the words, Omnis Honor et Gloria, just before the Paternoster. This is usually known now as the Little Elevation. The elevation of host and chalice immediately after consecration was introduced in detestation of the denial of transubstantiation by Berengarius. The elevation of host and chalice seems to have begun as an act of reparation about 1100 in France, of which country Berengarius was a native. From France it was introduced into Germany, and from Germany it found its way into other countries of Europe. At first only the host was elevated, and afterwards the chalice. The further custom of ringing a small bell at the elevation began in France during the 12th century, and about the same time the ringing of the large bell at the conventual mass was ordered in the statutes of some monastic orders. The bell is, obviously, to notify the solemn moment of the consecration. End of part 4.